Welcome back to the Pod of Greed.
Welcome back indeed, guys. Merry late Christmas, because when
Happy New Year.
Yeah, when you guys are watching this, I think it'll be the 26th.
Yeah, this will be post-Christmas, pre-New Year's.
We're recording this, though, some days before, because, we'll be out.
We got our own Christmas
places
plans.
With different plans
or
and stuff.
Holidays plans.
Yeah, so that also means that we're not going to be covering the news stories of the week. There will probably be at least some Yu-Gi-Oh! News, because at the time of us recording this, Konami has announced that they're going to be doing, that Supreme Darkness.
Yeah, that's tomorrow for us now.
Reveal stream, and also, in Japan, they're doing the Alliance Insight one. So
that doesn't exist. The OCG isn't real.
Yeah, so there will be at least some Yu-Gi-Oh! Developments. Don't worry, we'll catch up on all of it in the new year. But for now, we want to
wait till next year.
Yeah, it's so long from now. It's like, what's that joke everyone always says? Man, I haven't seen you since last year. People say stuff like that.
You hear it on January 1st and 2nd.
And that's it. But we do have something special planned instead for today's podcast. And that is, you can...
Do we have a name for it yet?
We don't.
The Pod of Greed Awards Show.
Yeah, the Pod Awards.
I don't know either.
But where you wanted to go through all of our favorite things from 2024 and just kind of chit-chat about them. I don't know.
Yeah, think of it like the Game Awards, but better.
And by better, we mean worse, because it's...
No, it's better because we are here and we're the only pod that exists.
That's true. You know what? That's true. I forgot about that. You know, you're right. Yeah, we are the only pod that exists.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you in the premiere, drop a one in the chat.
One's up.
Always appreciate that. And also, shout outs to all the channel members. We won't know if we actually got to 100 channel members this year until the new year, because of when we're recording this and all. But if you want to consider becoming a channel member, it would sure make our Christmas.
And we might have a special prize for the 100th channel member.
If I even get to see who that is, I guess there's a way to know.
No, I don't think we get to know that. And that wouldn't be fair to the 99 before. It's wait, so I should have just waited?
Yeah, so, okay, that's all of the preamble. I've got a very rough list that I threw together earlier today of best of 2024 things. So, half of this is Yu-Gi-Oh! And then the other half is, just stuff. Just things. Interests, fan, hobby,
pop culture things. We should not have let Paul make this list.
And I also got some that people suggested in the comments. So,
ooh, community engagement.
Thought that would be fun. Yeah, get a little bit of a mix of all three. Yeah, healthy dose of everything. Okay, so we'll start with the Yu-Gi-Oh! Awards. First of all, we can just each have a separate winner for each of these categories, for ourselves.
Yeah, that's fair. We never agree anyway.
Although I feel like on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff, we might agree. But I think in terms of best new game or best movie, that'll probably be different.
Oh, he's revealed some future categories.
Oh yeah, sorry. Spoiler. we're going to start off with best new Yu-Gi-Oh! Card. Single Yu-Gi-Oh! Card that released in 2024.
Oh, okay.
And you can kind of interpret this however you want. I mean, this could be the most just powerful competitive card, most maybe just influential card, or something iconic, something fun, anything really. Where's your mind go?
Man, 2024 was a year of powerful cards.
I feel like that's almost every year at this point. Yeah, but I get what you
mean.
But
2024 is stronger than 2023.
Yeah.
Which was stronger in 2022 and so on and so on and so on.
Think for me, the nominees start with maybe Poplar is a good start. It was early in the year, very influential for pretty much the whole year.
Yeah.
So that'd be up there.
A latecomer, Fualos.
Yeah. Both the Malcharmies, really. I mean, they're both pretty good. I think Fualos has been the one that's gotten more talk than Perulia, but they've both been played. So
was Phantom of Yubel this year?
Yeah, Phantom of Yubel was this year.
Phantom of Yubel in the category.
That was this summer in Battles of Legend. And I think maybe the only other thing that comes to mind for me is the Dominus cards, specifically Dominus Impulse it's probably the card that more people are really chit-chatting about.
I know what it is.
What's your pick?
I got to give it to Poplar.
You think Poplar?
No card on this list had the run that Poplar had. Poplar had this game by the throat.
Yeah.
We started calling all sorts of cards a poplar this, a poplar that. It became an adjective. Like it became much more than just a card.
That's true. A lot of decks have started to adopt the poplar design philosophy of, like, you know, kind of three effect little card that's like, when it's added to your hand, you summon it. When it's summoned, it gets a thing. When it leaves, it in some way recurs. Like, I've seen a lot of that for, like, the Shark deck. I think the Photon deck, like, got some card like that. There's a few. So I think it deserves it. I would say, though, that my pick is actually going to go to Promethean Princess. Ooh. So the Link 3, yeah, because she actually did come out in the same set as Poplar. It's kind of weird because in my mind it's a bit mixed up since, like, she was in Master Duel last year, actually, like in 2023. It was one of those weird cards where they released it early in Master Duel for some reason. But I think she was the most influential just because this was kind of the year of fire. So in addition to, like, Poplar and Bonfire releasing and, you know, kind of the Fire King structure just come out, it feels like she brings it all together because...
They did need a nice broken extract monster to go
into. Yeah. I feel like every deck just made so much use of Promethean Princess to the point where you really could kind of get tired of seeing her. I
didn't.
I have gripes about her design, right? Like, I think that she should have...
I think she looks cool.
No, the look.
She's got cool. Fire hands.
The card design, maybe not so cool. I think she should have, like, at least required fire effect monsters as opposed to just being, like, effect monsters.
Yeah, any monsters you want, really.
But that's Lynx in a nutshell, really. So, and that's not to say that the other, you know, sort of contenders were not also very strong. Like, I think one we forgot to mention was, like, Fiendsmith and Graver.
Yeah, and Graver has been big.
I think in the second half of the year has probably been, like, if these were, like, split into, like, first half and second half of the year, I think in the second half, Graver would probably win the award because Fiendsmith / everything is, like, such a popular hybrid now. So, maybe I'd switch mine to Engraver, but I think I'm going to stick with Promethean Princess. I still
feel good about Poplar.
Yeah, so a lot of good ones. Very curious to hear what people think was the most influential card, because I think it's a tight race between, like, two, three different ones. Like,
is the card truly influential if it didn't get hit on the ban list?
I mean, that's true, yeah. I was going to say, like, I remember a lot of people were saying that, like, Promethean Princess needed to get, like, banned, but that never really happened. And Engraver,
just limit it to one. It'll make a huge impact.
Engraver, people thought was going to maybe get limited, but they chose to hit the Fiendsmith stuff a different way. So, all right, next category is best deck of 2024. So just like an overall deck, which this is kind
That's
of unexciting.
Really hard. This,
I don't think it is actually. I mean, I think it just has to go to Snake Eye.
So many. Well, you right? said Snake Eye, but that's an archetype. You said best deck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm considering it like a deck.
Like,
in the
is
sense
it Snake
that,
Eye Fire King? Is it Snake it, Eye?
I mean, all the variants. I think that, like, just Snake Eye as a deck proved to be just that flexible that you could play Snake Eye, like Rescue Ace, Snake Eye Fire King, Snake Eye Fiendsmith, like pure Snake Eye as well. Like, they were all so good. It just felt like that was so much of the conversation this year. It's like, how are we going to hit Snake Eye? When are they going to be done with Snake Eye? Like, you know, I get what you're saying. Like, if there's a, if we're going getting super granular with exactly what deck, then I think maybe it's a tougher one. Which ones were yours?
So, I mean, Snake Eye, like, you know, the Snake Eye series of decks were really popular and powerful. But I mean, Yubel went on a bit of a tear after it got Phantom.
Yeah.
To, like, a kind of disgusting degree.
Yeah, that's true. I also would say, this will probably be more of a thing for next year. It's like, Malice and Rizeal deserve, like, at least a shout-out.
No, they don't.
Because they showed up and just, like, have power-crept everything so fast.
They will never get an award because they released this year, and this year's already over.
Yeah, no, I don't think they deserve the award. I mean, maybe even, and I hate the deck to death, like, Tempai gets a mention for being the most hated, like, just... That wasn't one of my categories, but I think
I kind of like Tempai for, like, deck of the year. I mean,
it was an interesting.
It just showed up and was so degenerate.
Yeah, I think what's kind of funny about Tempai is, like, we're going to just, like, addendum, like, most annoying deck, I think, of the year. I think it has to go to Tempai. Just because, like, it really shakes up the game because Tempai is an inexpensive deck. They chose to make all the cards. See,
that's why I think it's the best deck.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Because it is inexpensive, it meant that, like, this was a deck where you actually had to watch out for this, like, at locals and regionals, like, you know, certain decks like Snake Eye were very expensive at a time. They've gotten cheaper, obviously, but, like, you know, there was a time when, like, playing a Snake Eye deck was about $1,000. Mm-hmm. And that meant that you're someone at your locals probably has it, a couple people, but, like, not everybody. And even at, like, a regional, you can't just expect to see that all the time. But, like, Tenpai was, like, this accessible, strong, powerful deck that it was annoying. You had to respect it. It could kill you out of nowhere. And I do think that, like, while people hated the deck, it made its mark.
I mean, I think for the cheap players of Yu-Gi-Oh, we've never had a deck just show up and be so effective.
Like, yeah.
For if you're not, most people, you know, the more money you have to spend, the fewer people there are, right?
Yeah.
So Tenpai, I think, more than likely had the largest effect on the most amount of people this year, even more so than Snake Eye.
I think that it actually brings me to a little thought I've always had, which is that, like, Konami, I think that they kind of have a routine, like, every other year or so, they will release a strong deck that is cheap. Like, it's never the best deck of the format, but it will be, like, something that is powerful, easy to play. Typically, it's kind of a go second-ish variant of things, and it'll be a lot more affordable than the things around it are. Sometimes it's like a stun deck, like Fluanderies kind of comes to mind. Ugh. And things like that. But, you know, I don't know. Like, that's kind of, maybe that's like true. I don't know. I'd have to go back and, like, kind of think through each year though.
Because, like, I don't know if that's necessarily in their best interest, but maybe that is something they purposefully do.
I think it helps to, like, keep the scales kind of balanced.
At least in a TCG, we have the illegal knowledge. We know what's strong before it gets here. Konami could always choose to rarity bump everything that's supposed to be strong.
Yeah,
but for sure. They don't always do it.
So I think best, like, most influential deck, I'm giving it to Snake Eye.
I'm giving it to Tenpai.
But I see why you would give that to Tenpai. That's for sure a thing. Another one I was going to say, and I just thought of this category, is most interesting new deck. Because I think that's kind of a more exciting category to talk about.
That's quite open to interpretation.
Yeah, so here's where my mind went.
Okay.
I thought of the Millennium archetype, because that just feels, it's kind of quirky and different, the way that it works. I also thought about...
I saw it in tournament. You just make 2/8s and do a rank 8 play.
No, you're thinking more of, like, Horus. Because Millennium doesn't really... Are you thinking of Horus?
Yeah, then maybe I'm thinking of Horus.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of Horus. No, another one I was going to say is, like, Mimogul. I thought Mimogul was, it was just more interesting, like, because it was so different. It's like a fun deck. You give your opponent the cards. They're like a flip effect thing. It kind of felt more unique in that regard. White Forest is kind of, like, up there. They're just a little different. They're, like, a better Witchcrafters, in my opinion. Like,
I just think Tenpai is such a quirky little deck. No other deck really plays like it, you know.
You're really giving them a lot of credit here.
Summons your monsters, your opponent can't you have your field spell out, your opponent can't respond, and then you get to the battle phase, now your opponent really can't do anything, and you just blow them out the water.
It's quirky.
It's so unique. It's quirky. So, you know, it's an intellectual's deck.
I actually think also the Metamorph strat was, like, very... That was... I did not expect them to... be able to turn, like, Metamorph into a...
And we're going into another year where we're going to say that same phrase, like two more times next year as they turn some other small bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! Into a full deck.
And, you know, like, one episode gets
turned into an entire thing. Come on, Konami, give us the Masked Beast. You know
what we want. I'm waiting for Panic. Want. Panic's, like, weird attack point monsters.
What if they make them weirder?
So what would you say was, like, your most, like, kind of... interesting, like, quirky new deck that came out?
I'll give it to Mimogul. I played against a couple times. I had a good time.
Yeah, same. I think I'll give it to Mimogul as well. Second place is, like, White Forest, but Mimogul, I think, is just easily the most. Yeah. Most disappointing deck is probably just got to be Ashend. That wasn't a category that I had, but I just thought about it because...
Ashend came out this year?
Yeah, I know, right? Ashend came out this year. They debuted. Yeah, they debuted in Phantom Nightmare and just didn't really do it.
Do you think that this is a worse archetype than Tistina, another TCG exclusive?
Man, honestly, I couldn't tell you. I haven't even thought about these decks. Like, I think I've played against a Tistina deck one time one time, and I don't really remember how it went.
It bothered you?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Like, I don't even remember. Yeah, so I'd say Ashen is the most, like, disappointing thing. One other deck shout out to as well is the Flame Swordsman stuff. That was, like, really early this year, but that was a cool deck.
It was. I remember we had, like, a duel.
We did a little theme duel with it.
I don't remember what it did. I need to get those cards.
It just powers up, like, your Flame Swordsman, lets him attack a bunch. It's kind of a predictable, like, you know, anime OTK style deck, but I thought that was still kind of cool. Okay, best product of the year, like new Yu-Gi-Oh! TCG just product, like set. We obviously had four mainline sets. There was Phantom Nightmare, there was Legacy of Destruction, Infinite Forbidden, and then Rage of the Abyss. We actually only got one deck builder set this year, and it was Crossover Breakers.
They took their time.
Summer ones, that was kind of interesting. There were things like Maze of Millennia and Battles of Legend Terminal Revenge. There was also the Rarity Collection 2 and Rarity Bonanza, or Quarter Century Bonanza. And then there was the 10s. And I feel like that kind of covers, like, most of it. So, pulse check. How are we feeling? What's your favorite set to, like, open or just kind of mess around with?
Quarter Century Bonanza.
Okay.
Hands down.
Why? What was your favorite things about it?
It was a lot of reprints that I really, really wanted.
Yeah.
There no set this year. Because there were, in like the main series sets, because I collected a lot of the anime decks, there were certainly sets I enjoyed opening and getting new cards. But Quarter Century Bonanza said, hey, you know those old new cards you never really got? Here they are.
Yeah.
Here they are in whatever rarity you want. There's no set I enjoyed opening as much.
Well, I'll throw you a curveball with my pick. Mine goes to Retro Pack, the re-release.
You didn't Retro even Pack. Mention Retro Pack.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be thinking about them all.
Wow.
My favorite goes to Retro Pack.
He didn't even nominate it.
I love Retro Pack to death. I'm so glad that they re-released it. I thought it was just a joy to open. We obviously did a series on the channel, Retro Rivals. Go watch it. We opened Retro Packs every week, and I actually got to the point where I was really, I felt very familiar with that card pool. Like, I was, like, you know, thinking of different decks I could have built, even though they didn't, like, I didn't get to build Harpies. But I was like, oh, this, like, here's how a Harpy deck could work. Here's how a Toon deck could work. Like, even an Exodia deck. It's a fun set. I don't think it's, like, a perfect set for drafting, but it's not really supposed to be. That's just something that we did. But still, like, it's a good classic, fun little set. I think would make a great, like, gift for somebody if they just wanted a kind of some old school nostalgia, like, you know, give it to an older sibling who used to maybe play Yu-Gi-Oh! They get a little hit of dopamine. You can pull some of the classics like Dark Magician, Red Eyes, Blue Eyes, Time Wizard.
Like, the set is honestly fire. And it serves a niche that no other product this year really served, which was like retro anime heads. I don't know if they all knew about the set, but it's a great set for anybody who is a fan of like DM era Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, my honorable mention here is going to go to Battles of Legend Terminal Revenge.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it feels like it just disappeared into the void a little bit because it didn't have a bunch of notable reprints and it supported those like dual terminal archetypes, which you either like those or you don't.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But I do think that the trend that they started with that, which I assume they're going to continue into next year, was really cool. Like seeing, you know, like Ritual Beasts and Genex and like Infernoid get like more support. Ice Barrier got stuff as well. I think that's neat. And then next time, if they do it the same way next year, it's going to be like Jirok and Fabled and stuff. Like, because those archetypes are just bottom of the barrel.
You said Fiendsmith? What was that?
Yeah, I know. That's the scary part. It might be good for a whole different reason. But yeah, so that was a pretty fun one. And also, that gave us Dragon Master Magia, printed only QCR, where you couldn't pull his bitch ass. And he's like, $1 billion.
We didn't have a category for most disappointing card of the year. I'm going to give it to Dragon Master Magia.
I know, right?
Because Konami was wrong for that. They were.
There's some real irony in the fact that, like, we, just a few months before, had opened the little OCG set that had Magia in it. And, like, we pulled one very easily. Because the OCG,
it was very easy. We didn't struggle.
$3 or something. Meanwhile, the TCG is like, yeah, it's only QCR, and you just don't get to have it.
Let's see. But don't worry, Paul. We can pick one up right now for...
Oh, you're looking up the price on DCG Player?
Wait. I might be wrong. $774 if you want your anime card.
Yeah.
Thanks, Konami.
Good one, Konami. Okay. Best new Yu-Gi-Oh! Like merch accessory. So this kind of can be... You know, they've done like the skateboards. They did the... what was it? The like... They've done like mouse pads. There's been all these like... SH Monster Arts figures. We covered some of those. Just the different like shirts and stuff that we've seen, sweaters. Anything stick out to you? It's tough.
It has to be the SH Monster. Whoa, wait.
I know. There's a few things.
I don't know when they came out, though.
I mean, you can include whatever.
I'm trying to remember the name of this figure brand. There's a brand of Yu-Gi-Oh! Figures. They're not as big as like the SH Monster Arts.
Oh, are you talking about the figure arts ones where it's like name some of the monsters they did.
Blue Eyes Ultimate.
Where's the Ultimate?
Ooh. Yeah, Blue Eyes Ultimate, Dark Paladin and Dark Necrofear.
Oh, I don't remember what that brand is.
That might have come out last year. I'm trying to remember.
I know that there was the ones, and I think these were last year, the ones that had like Insect Queen Jinzo, I think, and like maybe some other cards. I'm not sure. That's actually the one thing with like these Yu-Gi-Oh like sort of product collabs is sometimes I just don't know which company is making the merch figures.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like I'm never really sure.
Monster Chronicle, that's what it
was. Yeah, okay.
I have no idea when they came out.
Was that like a Japanese only thing?
No idea. I got them in the States.
Okay. I think I've seen those at card shops.
By Mega House.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Mega House, I think you're right.
No idea what year that was in, but those were fire. Otherwise, I'm giving it to the Figure Arts Red Eyes. It's the best rendition of Red Eyes I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, that Red Eyes looks very good. I like the way they rendered the black of the Red Eyes.
Looks way better than Blue Eyes.
I'll give a shout out to the Scapegoats. These came from, I think, it's like Toy Kingdom or something. Is the company that got the license for the Scapegoats, so that was cool.
Hey, say his name, that's Clyde.
Yeah, this is Clyde. The other Scapegoats are around, they're on the couch back there. He's the only one who wanted to come to the Christmas party today, so. And shout out to Hypeland. I think this year they improved their Yu-Gi-Oh! Merch because, like, low-key, I never really liked a lot of their older merch because it gets just, like, official Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime renders.
That's crazy, Paul. I'm pretty sure there's a video of you saying how much you love it.
Oh, well, oops. But I like the new stuff because they actually got more artistically, like, kind of, they took more artistic license with, like, the Pot of Greed shirt.
I do think they stepped it up.
And there was also those Shonen Jump, like, manga panel shirts. Those were cool.
Oh, yeah. Those are good designs. Solid stuff.
I like any time that, like, a shirt has, like, a manga panel on it. There's a real, a unique vibe that gives, I think, that you don't get with just, like, a regular shirt.
It feels like art.
Yeah, I know you got the Time Wizard one for Retro Rivals. Okay, next category goes to what is the best Yu-Gi-Oh! Content that we saw or consumed this year?
I'm not going to lie to you. This was not a Yu-Gi-Oh! Content year for me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick it to Nova Alkami's Master Duel Streams.
Yeah, she's definitely, yeah, I think that she'd probably actually be my pick too. I like tuning into Master Duel. It's always cool that, like, so this is going to maybe sound a little bit rude, but I'll say it. I think that I like watching VTubers play Master Duel because, like, they're just not the Yu-Gi-Tubers that you're used to. You know, like, it's just like, it's new faces. It's a little different.
Yeah, anime faces.
Yeah, and so I have, I streamed with her once. It was a lot of fun. We did a collab video too, where like she sent me a paper shredder and,
oh yeah.
And whenever a card would go to the graveyard, we, would shred it in the shredder. It was kind of traumatic.
Wouldn't that be crazy if you, summoned your Dragon Master Magi and your opponent just negates the summons and now you gotta shred it?
Yeah, I think we were just playing with Star Decks. Yeah, so I'd say she probably wins it. I mean, shout out to all the Yu-Gi-Oh! Content creators. I know there's been, like, some really cool stuff that's come out of the year in terms of, like, series and collabs and that sort of thing.
My favorite Yu-Gi-Oh! Content creator, He hasn't dropped that heat yet, so I'm waiting. Maybe 2025.
Who's your favorite?
Nim Nim.
Oh, I mean, he streams sometimes.
He streams, but like...
You're waiting for like the next like kind of sealed only type energy.
I want a series again.
Yeah. I do think that I miss stuff like his where it's like kind of more Yu-Gi-Oh! In real life. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So much of the content now is just... It's just Master Duel. And don't get me wrong, I like Master Duel fine for like myself. It's a game to play, but sometimes, you know, you kind of want to see like your favorite creator like do something away from just the desk, if that... You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think my favorite creator would be Tombox, but I just don't compete like I used to.
Yeah, that's true. I remember like the good old days.
I used to binge his guys. He's like hand trap guides.
Yeah, side deck guides.
Siding. Oh my gosh.
I know. Okay, next award. Best Konami thing that they've done this year. So,
that's
kind of broad. I'll go through a few of what kind of I would think of as the nominees. The quarter century celebration, that happened in...
Was that this year?
Yeah, that was this year. That was in like February, like late February. That was really cool. That was one where like you played in Duel Links. I played in Master Duel.
I was a Rush duelist.
They did the YCS, or not the YCS, but the UDS finale that Jesse Cotton won.
Was I like one of the first like Rush duelists in America? Well, no, because the Rush duel had actually already...
We didn't launch at that time. Although we did get to last year do the little Rush Duel preview. We went to Konami's
office for that. That's true.
But yeah, so that'd probably be one thing. Another kind of highlight.
About that too.
I know. I know. Time flies, dude. Another Konami thing that they did was I think just the announcement of these sequel Rarity Collection products. Like if you consider that a Konami thing, I don't think it'd be a very positive one because people didn't really like Rarity Collection 2. But Bonanza was cool.
Rarity Collection 2 was a farce. But if Rarity Collection 2 had to stumble so that Quarter Century Bonanza could sprint, I'll take it.
There was different ban lists that they had, you know.
Mid lists?
I would say that Yu-Gi-Oh! VR demo, like the Solid Vision thing, that was kind of neat.
There's no way that was this year.
That was this year? Yeah, that debuted at the Tokyo Dome event, which was like...
That was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in February.
Oh, okay.
There's that ban list reveal they did at YCS Anaheim the other week.
That was popular.
There was changing the YCS pricing slightly, at least, from a Switch to a Steam Deck. I don't know how much that counts.
I mean, for people who actually win, I imagine it's much better. Or maybe somewhat. Maybe not much better, but it is an improvement.
I think you can sell for like $150 to $200 to now I think you can sell for like $450 maybe. So like, you know, there's a little more in that. Yeah, so I mean, that's like some of the stuff that Konami did. I'm probably forgetting something like rather obvious, but yeah, what do you think Konami like kind of was their biggest win, their big moment?
I gotta toss it to the animation. Oh, no, not the animation.
Animation Chronicle? Because that was...
Was that this year?
That debuted this year too.
I'm giving it to the Animation Chronicle thing, series, whatever you want to call it. That was huge. That reignited Yu-Gi-Oh! That got everyone talking about a new Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, and we haven't stopped talking since, and I keep telling you guys, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say it's not going to happen?
Because we want it.
Wait, which do you think is not going to happen? A new Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime or like a Chronicle Saga anime thing?
Both.
Oh, you don't think anything's happening?
I think in 2025, we will sit there being baited.
That's going to age like milk if they have announced it by the time we like upload this episode. Like that's what they did at that little live stream. They're like, yeah, guys, we announced that every month there will be a new like Yu-Gi-Oh!
Don't
short
listen
anime
to him, guys.
Series.
He's setting you up to get baited.
Well, either way, I think that's definitely high up there. Mine would personally be the quarter century celebration. I enjoyed being a part of it. I liked proving the haters wrong and beating Paulo in my featured duel. I won that Ash Blossom back there. That's where Alec won the Blue Eyes.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a really fun event. Like, and I even liked that they had like anime playing just through the night so people could just kind of chill and watch.
That I loved. I loved just, it was like 1 a.m. and I just turned on the stream and Yu-Gi-Oh! GX was playing.
I know, right? Like, it's good to kind of like celebrate it all, right? Like, not just the cards, but like the anime. And so,
I know they had to pull some strings to make that happen.
Yeah, sometimes licensing and stuff can get a little weird. Okay, So I think that's like pretty much all of the like Yu-Gi-Oh awards, unless there's maybe something that I'm forgetting. Anything come to mind for you? Not really.
Nah, I got none.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll move on to some of the more like generic things. Best new video game of 2024 that you have played.
Astrobot.
You haven't played Astrobot, I thought. Or have you? I don't know.
No, I haven't. Just copying the game awards.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
You didn't play that one.
I didn't really play it. I more so watched you play it. But I mean, I was there for most of that. And I think that was a great game.
Yeah, I mean, if it would also have to be my favorite game, because this year I really only played two like new games. So,
well, I'm not actually sure. I mean, you started playing a couple of different mobile games.
Do those count for this category?
Sure. I mean, we can have a separate category for best mobile game if you want.
As much as I enjoy Zenless Zone Zero, I don't think I enjoyed it more than like Final Fantasy.
Oh, you know, there's also Final Fantasy 14 Dawn Trail, which that is something I
Oh, we're including expansions now and DLCs too while we're at it?
Yeah, we're the Game Awards now, baby. We're including the DLCs. No, I think Dawn Trail, you know, counts as a pretty much a new game. No,
you actually did play that one.
I did play it. I liked Dawn Trail. It was fun. We played Final Fantasy 14, critically acclaimed MMO. Would you still say it was like Rebirth for you?
Yeah, I think Rebirth was a very satisfying product, even though I completely disagreed with the direction that story is going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, I'm trying to think, was there anything else that I even like tiptoed around playing? There's a few games that I want to try to like catch up on playing, if that makes sense. Like, I would like to try to play Mario Brothers Brotherhood, or Mario and Luigi Brotherhood for the Switch. That's like a, I don't know, you haven't played the Mario and Luigi games, but I was a really big fan of those back in the day as a kid. Like Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga.
Is that the one where they're made of paper?
That's Paper Mario.
I knew that, and I still asked the question. I
mean, you knew that. So I didn't like play a lot of new games, so it's like a hard one to give. But I mean, there have been other, like, you know, you've still played stuff like Fortnite. Have you felt like it's innovated a lot this year and, like, done new things you liked?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we include Fortnite, I mean, Fortnite's beating the rest of the game industry by, like, a mile.
Yeah. I think Fortnite, is that just, like, your, like, favorite game, like, would you say?
It's not that it's my favorite game. It's just that I can always hop into Fortnite and I know I'm in for a time. Mm-hmm. Fortnite is always adding new content, more of new events. It's more than just a game. It's a lifestyle. You just gotta fort sometimes, yeah. You know?
gotta fort sometimes. Okay, best movie.
Best movie on the
movie
year?
Movie that you've seen. It could be in theaters or even maybe something you watched on streaming.
I don't know what the best movie I saw this year was. But I feel like the most impactful movie I saw this year was Challengers.
I didn't see that. What is that?
That was the Zendaya movie where she's a tennis player.
Oh, okay. And she's like got the two guys who are like,
yeah, that was quite a movie.
I still
don't know what my favorite movie of the year is though.
I know I saw Madame Web and hated that I went to see it. Saw Joker 2, hated that I went to see that. Somebody pointed out in the comments, by the way, you have to see Kraven because you made me see Joker 2. That's what they said. They said it, not me. Don't argue with me.
That doesn't make sense.
It does. You put me through Joker 2.
You were going to watch any movie I picked.
That's what they said in the comments. You can argue with them. Yeah, I saw Madame Web. Did not care too much for that. I saw Venom, The Last Dance. It was all right.
Glad I skipped it.
I saw like the Haikyuu movie in theaters. That was actually pretty cool.
That was fire.
That was a good anime.
Oh wait,
movie.
Seed Freedom was this year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Mobile Suit Gundam
Seed. That's true. Freedom. We saw that. That was good. I like
fire
that.
Too.
I saw the My Hero movie. The one where like there's like the Dark All Might. I saw that.
Oh, I didn't. I forgot to see it.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool.
How did it compare to the last one? Because I saw the last one.
Let's see. So there's been four My Hero movies. I'm trying to think of how I would rate them.
I've only seen the one.
I think you've seen like the second and third, if I'm correct.
I've only ever seen one My Hero movie.
You've only seen one?
It's the one where Bakugo and Deku fuse or whatever.
So you've seen two then. because you saw the second movie, that's where the one where they like kind of fused together. And then the third movie is the one where like they're on the road with like that guy Brody and is like, you have, because I know, trust me, you were there. I remember you were there. It was us and a group of friends. I don't remember
this. What happened in that movie?
It's the one where like it's kind of like more of a road trip one. They're somewhere in Europe, and there's like this guy who's got these two little, like a little brother and a little sister, and Deku's kind of helping them. I know, because you said that you liked it despite a lot of the people that we went with saying they didn't like it because it was too much like story and stuff compared to the fighting.
Oh, I do remember
it. I know, like these anime movies can, like these little shonen anime movies can really.
Oh, I swear to God. When you said Brody, his face popped up in my
Rhodey.
Head.
Or Rhodey. I think it's Rhodey.
Rhodey, bro, whatever. His face popped into my head, but I could not get any context. I'm like, who is this character I'm thinking about?
So I've seen all four, and I would say that the best one is still probably the second one. It's just got like the best kind of combat, it's a lot of fighting, spectacle. A lot of spectacle. And I think all the rest of them are just about even. They're just anime movies. This new one was cool. I mean, I'm assuming you probably won't watch it, so I'll like kind of give a slight spoiler. It's just a guy who admired All Might, and so he kind of turned into All Might. Like, he looks like him. He has a little evil syndicate of people that are working with him. They're trying to capture this girl who has a quirk that, like, powers you up, but also kind of corrupts you.
You gotta love those, you know,
those like
non-canon characters that you make super powerful because you're gonna take them right off the board when this movie is done.
I mean, they say like the My Hero movies are canon. Whatever. Yeah, the point is though, it was a good movie. The fights were good. It was pretty funny. I thought it was nice, but it wouldn't be my movie of the year. I think that this is an unfair question because I am literally going to be seeing the Sonic movie quite soon. Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and I know that's going to be my movie of the year.
But you don't know that, though.
Yes, I do.
What if it's a bad movie?
If it's a bad movie, I'll come back and update you, and I'll eat a bar of soap. But it won't be bad, I'm sure. So, yeah, that's probably going to be my movie of the year. But of the things that I just have already watched, that Gundam movie was pretty good, but I think I'd give it to the Haikyuu movie. That was a very
fun
match of Haikyuu to watch.
It made me rewatch Haikyuu.
Yeah, haven't seen too many like live action movies though, so I guess my palate is kind of thin on that front. Okay, best TV show.
Best TV show.
Agatha All Along.
That was fire.
Although I did watch Echo. I know that was one of the ones.
That's not ranked
for
me.
Hmm?
That one's not ranked for me.
Not ranked?
Yeah, it doesn't make it into the top, like, anything.
Okay, why not?
Echo was very forgettable in the long run of things.
You're on a podcast, you gotta explain.
I'm sorry. I mean, it just feels, like, weird to explain to people what they already know.
I mean, what's more likely is most people just haven't watched it.
Like, I mean, I think a lot of people probably saw the first episode because Daredevil was in it. But afterwards, you get into this personal narrative about a character who you actually have to kind of try to like. Maya doesn't ingratiate herself to the audience. You have to want to like her at first, which is, so if the show starts off on an odd footing for you, then Maya's attitude doesn't really help. And then you really want to see the superhero payoff, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so she's really good at fighting, like, but what's like her superpower? And then,
well, she was kind of similar, I thought, to Daredevil, where she kind of had like the hearing.
That doesn't work to her advantage though, because then it's like, oh, she's kind of like Daredevil. Why did we make another Daredevil then? But then, you know, they gave her like the power of her ancestors and stuff in like the final like two episodes, essentially.
Yeah, I think they kind of dropped the ball in the ending because the final conflict wasn't.
Yeah, the final episode was very underwhelming, but I imagine a lot of people didn't see that. You're lucky. I actually, like She-Hulk, I wish I could have stopped the show one episode short of the finale. I'm big on endings. When endings fall flat, I kind of just start forgetting about them, like, almost in real time.
So what's your TV show of the year, then? You've watched more of them than me, I know, so.
I do watch a lot of TV.
I will say mine while you think on yours.
Okay.
I was going to say while you think on yours, mine's definitely Agatha All Along. I liked it because I went into it not really knowing what to expect. I didn't know who the character of Agatha was. I knew that there was kind of a sentiment even my own sentiment, but a sentiment of a lot of kind of MCU fans that, like, why do we even have this show? Why do we need this? Like, this is just going to be, like, it's just going to be a weird filler. And it just pleasantly surprised me. I think it leaned in so well to its, you know, the witchy kind of, like, culture and vibes and, like, aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Like, it really resonated from all of the characters and the sets and, like, the, you know, just the props, like, the kind of this, everything people wore and all of it. And it was a good time. Like, I really found myself looking forward to it. Each week would end off with me, like, having a lot to think about. Like, just the mystery and all of it, so.
For me, because I watch a lot of TV, not like TV traditionally, but I stream it or I steal it. But anyway, since I watch so much, I can't really limit, so I'll just say a few. The last season of Power was really entertaining. Yes, I know it's trash TV, but I mean,
hey, enjoy my trash TV. Like it, don't call it trash.
No, I mean, it is. It's not like,
okay,
like, if you know, it's not stimulating you intellectually, that, but not by a long shot. But yeah. I really did enjoy that series. The last season of House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones spinoff.
Oh, that was this year? Oh, okay. I thought, so that was like a second season of it or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, second,
okay,
season
good.
Of it.
I was gonna say, I feel like House of the Dragon came out like a couple of years back now.
They got to like this skip another a year because, okay, all the filming.
Gotcha.
That was a really good season. If you haven't tried out House of the Dragon, but you enjoy Game of Thrones, except for the final season of Game of Thrones, you should check it out. Agatha All Along was definitely my favorite, like, Marvel TV series that I watched
in
the
last year. With these Marvel shows, they almost get, like, they've kind of created their own category. Like, I noticed that when you said that, you made that distinction. And I noticed that you're not the only person who has. Like, I feel like a lot of people, when I talk to them about these things, it's like, yeah, that was my favorite, like, Marvel thing this year. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like it lives in its own.
I can't, because, yeah, it feels like I can't really, if I were to rank the things I watched, it would beat out a lot of things just by virtue of being Marvel. So I separate it. I'm like, that's my favorite Marvel thing. But I also really enjoyed the Amazon Batman series, Caped Crusader. Oh, speaking of Batman series, the Penguin went crazy.
Yeah.
If you didn't see that. The Penguin, oh my God. God, he's a hateable character. Such a good show. The Penguin was kind of a spinoff of... did you see The Batman with Robert Pattinson?
I really wanted to see that. I never did.
It kind of spins it off, and it makes a truly deplorable character so, like, interesting and, like, thought-provoking. You want to write an essay about The Penguin once you finish watching it. Like, you know what? I said I wasn't going to give best show. I'm giving best show to The Penguin.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, a lot of good TV shows, it sounds like. You know, what's interesting is I never got to, like, really watch Arcane. I know they said that was really worth it.
I heard great things.
Okay. Well, next one's going to be best anime. Now, you and I watch plenty of this, so.
I watch a stupid amount of anime.
This is going to be a tough one for me. I'm not going to lie, it's a tough one. Where's your head going with best anime of 2024?
It's too difficult because of the sheer volume of anime that comes out every year. I can't actually tell you what came out this year versus what came out last year.
I know.
All I can really think about is what I'm watching this current season, which is unfair to, like, everything that came before it.
So here's some of what comes to mind for me then. It's really, actually, I'll just say, it's a toss-up between two, maybe three different seasons. It's Dandadan's happening now.
Dandadan is which fire. Is like,
it's high up there. And it would be easy to say that's, like, it's the best thing I've watched. But then I remember that Kaiju number 8 was this year. Loved Kaiju number 8.
Okay,
that was,
I went to my website to see what all came out.
Yeah, I know, right? You gotta give me a little cheat sheet here. I mean, I think those are, like, really high up there, and, like, but then there's still stuff like My Hero season 7 was happening, and, like, I'm a really big My Hero fan.
If we're including new seasons, this is an impossible challenge.
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to remove sequel seasons because there's some, because I think that just helps out. Like, it's not really fair to be like, okay, it's season 3 of this and season 7 of that. Because like there's so many of those like long-standing existing anime that are just
like One Piece.
Yeah, like One Piece season 84 was my favorite. I was like, okay, well. Yeah, but I think of new things, Dandadan, Kaiju number 8. I feel like there's like a heavy hitter and I just know I'm probably just forgetting it. Like
a not so heavy hitter that I really enjoyed this year was Yatagarasu.
Yatagarasu was really fun. I loved that.
That was fun. I don't know if this one came out this year, but The Fable was amazing.
Yeah. The Fable's really good. We tried that out on a whim. I remember when we watched that.
We couldn't get our Prime, whatever we want to stream on, to work. So we were on, was that Hulu?
Yeah, it was like on Hulu. And we were like, it was some New York trip or something. And we were just like, oh, what can we watch? And it ended up being really good. Yeah, I would like to hear people's favorite, like, new kind of debuting anime.
So much comes out in a year.
Here, I'm going to look up, like, just... I'm just going to look up, like, best anime of 2024 and, like, see what other people are saying. It'll probably jog my memory.
You're going to see One Piece.
One that I didn't watch was... I didn't see Frieren, but people say that's amazing. Frieren was
very good.
People really love that. Solo Leveling, that's one that I know a lot of people talk about.
Solo Leveling was good.
I thought that was good.
Isekai Suicide Squad was this year, too.
I never saw that. Metallic Rouge was an interesting one I remember liking.
I did enjoy Metallic Rouge. That was this year?
I know.
Golly.
It's so crazy. The Witch and the Beast. I liked that one.
Did I see that one?
Yeah, you did. The guy who has the giant coffin.
Oh, the big coffin guy. Okay, yeah.
And the girl who's like kind of been cursed. Yeah, that was really great. A lot of good ones. I guess I'll just give my award to...
Not the Rick and Morty anime.
I'm going to give it to Kaiju number 8, I think. I think that's probably my pick. You?
You know, before this season, I feel like I could have said Dandadan and felt special, even though Dandadan's manga is extremely popular. So I'll go with Yatagarasu. That'll be my pick to feel special.
Fair. Okay, so best mobile game. We'll do this real quick because you kind of reminded me, like, you play mobile games and...
I do play plenty. But it's very simple for me. It's Zelda Zone Zero.
Now, what all have you played this year? Because I know that earlier this year you were playing, like, AFK Journeys.
Oh,
I know,
man.
You talk about, like, Weather and Waves and Snowbreak.
That makes me upset.
Go through them. Let's hear it.
So I don't know what order I should tackle them in. I'll start with AFK Journey. I played it on a whim because it was made by like Lilith Games, who did AFK Arena? I think so. And I tried it out. I was having a good time, and then I kind of fell into like the competitive nature of that game and did not enjoy myself at all. Before all was said and done, I hated AFK Journey. And I deleted everything. I never want to see the game again. Mm-hmm. So that one was not a win this year. You know, Wuthering Waves came out. It was kind of an action style, like mobile game. You know, hybrid. You play it on a PC, which I recommend. It feels like it came out just to spite Zelda Zone Zero, which spent a long time in development. Weathering Waves is a very solid game, a bit on the edgier side of things. And that was fine with me because I had no interest in playing Zelda Zone Zero, which released later. And then, on a whim, I saw the character, like Nicole Demara. And I was like, sure, I can do some free spins. Because, you know, you get some free spins at the start of a game. I'll do some free spins. And the rest is history. I've collected every single S-rank character except for Caesar. Because Caesar released at a low point for me, and I didn't have the money to make it happen. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that one. Other games that I've played. Nikkei had a very, very good year. We just had our Christmas event. I mean, some games I play are waifu collectors, and some are like more mixed. You know, I have
very diverse palette.
I have a diverse palette when it comes to the games that I play. Is that it? Oh, I quit Snowbreak this year. I was fine. I finally could not deal with that tragic game any longer.
Okay, tragic.
at first it was kind of this kind of a niche, unknown, like, gacha waifu shooter. And then it became known for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I know, and you're talking about the community.
The discourse online was super cringy and grating to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, it's not that I stopped enjoying the game. I just really hated what the game was becoming. So I just moved on from that one.
I mean, I guess my reward just have to go to Pokemon TCG Pocket.
Pokemon TCG Pocket.
It's become a fun little pastime to open packs.
And that's true. I haven't opened my packs today.
Yeah, I got my notification. I need to do that as soon as we're done. Okay, and then I got a couple of fun viewer ones that people suggested. What is our best Pokemon theft story? I know we don't probably remember them all, perfectly, but all
right.
Which stuck
so
out
I do
to you
have
most?
I've thought about this quite a bit. I'm surprised this question came up, honestly. So when we say, I'm going to redefine best. So I have the best one is obviously the money laundering scheme. That is such a well thought out crime. It is. Have you ever laundered money before? It is not easy. But to use Pokemon cards, that's a very innovative way to go about it. Now, the scaling of the cards kind of has to be done somewhat in secret, or you're going to get caught eventually if you're just mass scaling Pokemon cards. Someone's going to notice something. But compared to my other best crime, it was a really well thought out crime, and I'm just saying they weren't trying to get caught is my thing.
What was your other best crime?
So my other best is the kind of the dumbest. The guy who robbed his local card shop without a mask on.
I was going to, there's been a few of those, it feels like. I was going to say, the two that stuck out to me was, first of all, the guy who was, doing the thing at Target where he was, printing new labels and, or something like that, changing,
that one,
product
that one,
ID
that
numbers
That one
or something.
Would have been my most well-thought-out if we didn't have the money laundering one.
Was this year the year that, this was the year of the Pikachu with, gray felt hat thing, right?
This year?
I think that was this year.
That was an insane.
It was really early this year.
That was an insane time.
Where they were going into that museum and harassing the people and trying to get the card.
You mean the riots?
Yeah, I mean, that would be mine, I think. That was just the craziest.
Guys, we're out of Pikachus. And then the crowd goes berserk.
That truly was. I think it was a plan.
I think they just wanted to have their own, Tokyo Dome as riot type situation.
I mean, that's the case, though. It feels like Pokemon's got one, every month. All right, what's our favorite? Another one that somebody suggested.
We didn't mention the Target shooting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the one that was, near New Orleans, right?
No. That was somewhere else. No, the guy you mentioned was actually near New Orleans.
Oh, that was the guy who was changing the labels.
Yep.
God, we have so many.
There were a lot.
So many of these Pokemon stories. they're all crazy. Just please stop stealing them.
Yeah, guys, don't do that. And if you're going to do it, at least do it smart.
Okay, so another one that people asked about was, biggest card game controversy of the year, which I guess that's broader than just Pokemon. So this is, there's the Magic the Gathering.
So for me, it's easy. The Magic the Gathering using AI.
That was this year?
I think that was this year.
There's been multiple ones. So yeah, I think that was this year.
In a weird way, it's been a saga with them. Wizards and AI.
I was going to say, I thought that the worst was when that one ban list where people were just furious over the card prices tanking. I remember
that one was pretty crazy.
That was the CEDH, the commander.
Yeah, when the
panel,
the one that team. Ended the
the commander group or whatever it was,
ended their group, and
yeah, that was wild.
Was absorbed into Wizards. That was crazy. It's honestly impressive. As much flack as Konami gets and how much praise people will then give Wizards, relatively speaking, that Konami did not cause the biggest controversy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're the two companies are what and what in terms of bad community relations. But I would say that when Wizards fucks up, it's a big deal because the volume will always hit your ears. You know what I mean?
You always hear about
if you're not super into Magic, you will hear people complaining about these ban lists or the AI stuff.
It's hard not to be super into Magic when they have all these crossovers where eventually they're going to catch you.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because even the crossovers kind of come with a mixture of good and bad reception. Some people are really excited about them. Some people are I don't want Krabby Patties in my Magic the Gathering. So
then don't buy the Secret Lair.
Yeah, so I always kind of hear a bit about that. I know, like, you know, I like loot. I hate loot. I like, you know, there's like, you had to like wait in line to get your secret layers, and like the site was crashing.
That
and
was a fun time.
All these crazy things. I would actually say that probably biggest controversy to me would maybe, I don't know if there's like a controversy, but like the vomiting horse memes. I feel like that was just, that one really stuck with me.
That was a crazy time.
Because that was where it really felt like the fever pitch around this ban list was getting. It felt like
Yu-Gi-Oh! Was melting down.
People were losing their minds.
And look at us now. Damn near forgot about it.
Yeah, we forgot. We're happy. Konami's doing such a good job. Yay, oh my God.
They revealed the ban list
at YCS. We're happy. Yeah, we're very easily pleased. I remember I chatted with Billy Brake. A few months after that, he was saying, he was just like, yeah, you know, as long as I don't see another vomiting horse, I think I'll be okay. And good for him. I hope he doesn't have to. I know that he will. Because
I know some people that have, like, sympathetic vomit kind of reactions. If they see vomit, they have to vomit. That must have been a tough time.
Yeah, that must have been rough. Because, like, that was, like, I'm not one of those people, but every time I saw that picture, I was still just like, this is disgusting. Like, why do we pick this as our meme to share? We could have picked anything else.
It's certainly noticeable.
Yeah, they're trying to get Konami's attention. I don't think Pokemon had like a major controversy this year, did it? Like besides the thefts, but like nothing that the Pokemon company did?
I think there's some cheating things that went around, but...
Yeah, there was like a cheating thing.
But that's every card game is going to be a cheating scandal or two.
Okay, and then finally somebody asked, best AI Doom and Gloom story. Best. Which AI story made you the most upset? Was it, because there's a few. There's like the Coca-Cola ad. There's the company we talked about like just last week with that was like, it's literally advertising, fire humans, have AI people work for you instead. They won't complain. There's
character AI.
There's character AI.
Kills children.
Is murder.
or tries to get them to murder their parents.
There's also, oh my God, there was another one.
There was the Pokemon art thing.
That was crazy. Yeah, the Pokemon art story, that was the Pokemon controversy. Yeah, there was that, and there's another one I'm forgetting about that I know people like really did not, they didn't like. It'll come to me. But where's your head at for like worst AI?
So for me, it goes to the Coca-Cola ad.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not the most how would you describe it? Like black like egregious sort thing. Of thing. But for me, it was very impactful because those like Christmas Coca-Cola ads are like a staple of like life.
Of like so much of culture.
For, like, it has been for me. I've always seen those ads. They're always these very large productions. Like even if it didn't always make me want to drink a Coke, but I always remembered the ad. This was the first time where I wished I could wash my brain with bleach after seeing one. It was so off-putting. I was so upset. You know, I hadn't had a sip of a Coca-Cola product since.
Oh, they got you to boycott this shit.
I'm not doing it.
I'm done.
Like I told you, I take a hard stance with AI being used in quote unquote artwork.
Yeah,
that's how it is.
For me, it's kind of a cross between like I think that the Pokemon AI thing and the Magic AI, like those affect my hobbies more closely. So I guess those stick in my mind more. But I would actually say the one that I hated the most was the one from last week where they just had the post, like just have bulletin boards up saying, do not hire humans, hire AI. Like, because to me, just something about that, just turning up their nose at the idea of people even being able to like have skills, have these jobs, like that really rubbed me the wrong way. I did not like that much contempt in advertising. That really felt just kind of felt shitty, I'll be honest.
I mean, it was horrible, but to some degree I felt like it was honest, since that's kind of what AI aims to do.
Yeah, that's true.
In general, like they were just like, oh, we'll say it, we're gonna say what we're all thinking, we're gonna be the guys that do it.
Yeah, there's all those like Tesla AI bots that they showed where it's like, you know, you want another robot in your house cleaning and helping you and
under no circumstances
and looking at you with its 10 cameras.
The only thing that's allowed to like clean my house for me is an offline Roomba.
Yeah, so it's really been a crazy year of AI. Like it's moving fast and it's crazy because like I know like next year's AI stories are just going to be
even crazier.
Like it's going to be worse. All right, so final thing things we are hoping for from 2025. Just a lightning round, and we'll call it. So, and it can be like anime, you know, movies, games, Yu-Gi-Oh, just kind of whatever. We'll give like maybe three each.
I want a Gundam Wing remake. I want an archetype based off of Mass Beast Asgardius in Yu-Gi-Oh. I want more Mastermon support in Digimon. I know that's going to come true.
Oh, there's a car going off in the... Okay, not anymore. We're good. Now there's just like people outside or something. Okay, some of mine. I am looking forward to seeing how the MCU develops. I've become a little bit more invested in like...
He's the MCU, bro.
Seeing its success. Because it feels like this year, like they've begun to regain some of their footing with like Deadpool and Agatha's, you know, stuff like that. So I want to see like, you know, Brave New World. Are people going to like that or hate it? It seems like it's really tumultuous. So that's like something I'm looking into seeing. The finale of My Hero Academia. I know they announced that like season 8, the final season, is going to be happening like in the fall. So that's going to be cool. And I would say maybe for my last thing, whatever this like Switch 2 is like, you know, the new Switch console, because I'll probably get one. So I would like to see what that's about. Like,
fair, fair.
And I guess I have to give like some Yu-Gi-Oh thing just because. Honestly, if Konami can just do something better with community support, I don't know what that's going to be, but something.
Yeah, your idea is as good as theirs.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the right track. Like that YCS thing felt positive. It felt good. So, I'm going to have to see. I'd like them to maybe alt format, community manager, something. Maybe have Worlds not be a private event.
All right, but when they call your phone and offer you that community manager position, you can't decline it now. I'm not after saying all that.
No, I will decline that in a heartbeat.
Wow.
I
don't want anything to do with it. You see how he switched up on y'all?
Cool. Well, that's going to be it.
That is it for our extra special holiday edition of The Pot of Greed.
You know, I gotta say, it is crazy, but we started this podcast last year, and we did not miss a single week this year. Like, in 2024, we've gotten a Pot of Greed out.
Not for lack of trying.
Yeah. We've struggled. There were, you guys know, if you've been a long-time listener, there were some times where, like, we were doing this remotely and all that stuff, but... But we got through a full, like, I guess 52 episodes this year. So congrats to us. Congrats to you guys. We really appreciate all the support.
That's crazy that y'all have been here with us for a year. And all we want to do is yap on camera.
Yeah, I know.
Which we already do that, but we wanted a more like free-form yap session.
Yeah, and we're glad that you guys indulge us and give us the ability to do that on a weekly basis. We'll see you all in the new year and
2025.
Let us know, of course, what all of your favorite like winners of each of our categories were. We enjoyed doing this.
I'm actually very interested because some of those questions, the answers are going to be so different.
I know. Yeah. All right. To end it out, no look high five. 3, 2, 1. You never done a no look high five?
You caught me completely off guard.
All right. No look high five. 3, 2, 1. Okay, that didn't. Okay, right, another attempt. No look high five. 3, 2, 1. Nice. We did it. Okay, see you guys in the next one. Pass turn.